In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. The word that I want to look at today is anoint. What does it mean to be anointed? In order to understand the word anointed, one must go back to the anointing of the kings when Samuel anointed David. He got a horn of oil, a horn of oil. Now, this oil wasn't extra virgin. This was thick stuff. And he poured on the head of the anointed new king this oil, thick, thick oil, gooey, gummy, anointed. He was the anointed of the Lord. He was called to serve God's people. He was called to be the king, anointed of the Lord. Now, when Jesus went into the Jordan River, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was anointed. For the Scripture says that the Anointed One, a bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench. The Scripture said that the Anointed One would open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, and that he would call a year of jubilee. When Jesus went into the Jordan River, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, you see, when one is anointed, immediately the Holy Spirit drew him into the desert to fast and pray, and he was tempted by the devil. You must know that with the anointing comes the temptation, because now the devil sees that this is the anointed one. He didn't know everything. I'll tell you, when Jesus Christ was being baptized at the Jordan River, I'm telling you, the devil was on the shore watching. He was there. He heard the voice of the Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And now, while Jesus is in the desert, he is tempted by the devil, and he overcomes all the temptations. Every temptation he overcomes. And then he goes about. Jesus goes about. Next thing he does is he goes to the Galilee region. And he goes to Nazareth and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This day this word is fulfilled in your midst." And he sits down. Oh yeah, he is anointed. He is the anointed of the Father. For the word Christ means anointed. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Messiah. Christ is not the Lord's last name. Jesus, the Christ means Jesus, the anointed one. I will tell you, my friends, you can have all the gifts in the world, the gift of speaking, the gift of helping. But I tell you, there's a big difference between being anointed and having a gift. There's a big difference, because when one is anointed, one is under the power of the Holy Spirit. When one is anointed, one is under the power of God. That when one speaks, even if they're the best speaker in the world and they're not anointed, yes, they will tickle people's ears. There's no doubt about it. And people say, "It wasn't that wonderful." But when one is anointed, it is not the tickling of the ear that happens, but the piercing of the heart. That God touches the heart of people. Oh, yes, the anointing breaks the yoke. work, and it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And how many people have been anointed? Do you know that John and Peter and Paul, they were anointed men of God? Do you know that at every turn in the road that the devil wanted to destroy Paul? He tells us that. He had trouble with the Jews who would not accept him because he killed Christians. He had trouble with the Gentiles. He had trouble with believers. He had trouble with unbelievers. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. But you see, the anointing kept him, and he continued until he said, I have finished the race, and there is a crown waiting for me. The anointing breaks the yoke, but with the anointing is not only the blessing, but the trouble. And the trouble comes from within the person and from without the person. Looking at Paul, the trouble came from without the very Jewish people who were Christians, didn't believe him. The Romans wanted to destroy him. The Gentiles often didn't accept him. When one is anointed, one receives not only the blessing of the anointing, but the trouble that comes from the anointing. Let's go back to Jesus. What do you think got him killed? The anointing. Why? Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were jealous because everybody was following him. Now, this was the plan of God, that his son would give up his life for us and shed his blood so that we would have salvation. But the anointing always brings trouble. We're going to be looking now at the blessed anointed people, and we're going to look at the trouble that they were given. We're going to first take André Bessette. André Bessette was a little lay brother. He was a porter, which means he opened the doors and closed the doors. But he had a great gift of power. He had the anointing. He cared for people. He would anoint sick people with the oil of a candle from St. Joseph's statue. And thousands of people received healing. Thousands of people received healing. Thousands. He would also keep the sick up in the choir loft, and he would minister to them and love them. Even if they weren't healed, he would be like the nurse, caring for them. He had the anointing. The Holy Spirit was upon him. But when one has the anointing, one has to deal with the trouble from hell as well as the trouble from your own. His superior said to him, get out of here. I don't want your people in this building. You must go to the train station and pray for the sick. Not here! Not here! And here this little lay brother obediently accepts this, as God is working to him and through him in such a powerful, powerful way. John Vianney, another anointed one. Anointed. Well, you know, they put him in ours because he was so stupid, but the world came to John Vianney to go to confession. The world came. Oh, so the church put him in the no place. But the devil was always after him, always after him, always after him, to destroy the anointing. He didn't win. Padre Pio, an anointed man of God, that the church forbade him from celebrating Mass for years for the public, until finally she said, you can do it at 3 o'clock in the morning, because they thought no one would come at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the churches were filled. Oh, there's the story of the girl that had no eyes who saw. Oh, yes, he was an anointed man of God. And the devil was after him, too. Wherever there is the anointing, there is not only the blessing, but there is the trouble. It's just the way it is. Let's continue with people. Joan of Arc, an anointed woman of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. The only way she did not want to die was in the fire, and so they put her in the fire. She wants to go to confession before she dies. They won't even allow her to confess her sins. Oh, she had the anointing. She told the prince or whatever he was what he had to do. She had the anointing. And she was declared a witch. Let's continue and go to Solanus Casey, a little Franciscan priest. He was so stupid, so they thought, that they called him a mass priest, which means the only thing he did was celebrate mass. He also was a porter, opened and closed doors. And the Lord gave him the great gift of healing. He was an anointed holy man, a man who prayed. And people from all around the world would come to Solanus Casey, all around. The church, you know, didn't recognize this. When Rome was trying to look at his case for beatification and for becoming a saint, I love the story because it's so much like God. There was a woman who had come to him, which had cancer. And he had prayed with her, and the cancer was completely healed when she went back to the doctors, and there was no cancer anymore. And so when she came back to thank him, he said, oh, let's celebrate, because you know what? We're going to have ice cream. And that was a big thing for Solanus, you know, because he fasted a lot. So he goes into his desk, D-E-S-K, and pulls out two ice cream cones. Into his desk. You know what the people from Rome said? We cannot put that in. People think you're nuts. But the woman said, that happened. I'm the woman. We can't put that in. An anointed man of God. Let's look at the three children from Fatima who saw the Blessed Virgin Mary and what the church in Portugal put them through. They put them in jail, scared the wits out of them, told them they were going to hell. But they proved to be real seers. With the anointing comes trouble. We are supposed to be Christians. The word Christian means anointed. How many anointed people do we have? There's a big difference between being a Christian and being an anointed one, even though Christian means anointed. How many anointed lay people do we have? How many anointed priests and ministers do we have? People that are anointed. Not only bear the name, as the prayer said yesterday at the end of Mass, that we would be children of God, not only in name, but in fact. That was the prayer. That we would be children of God, not only in name, but in truth. How many priests and ministers and bishops and popes have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, anointed with the thick oil of gladness that comes from Jesus Christ and his cross, death, and resurrection? How many? If you really find out who they are, you find out who were the ones that were persecuted. Because there's something about the anointing that scares people, that scares religion, that scares people that are into business as usual. always want to destroy the anointing, be it through jealousy or be it through any other reason. He's not educated. He's stupid. Who does he think he is? What we need today are anointed men and women of God. Oh, yes, with the anointing comes trouble. With the anointing. You see, anybody can celebrate the Eucharist that's a priest. But when Padre Pio celebrated it, people were converted. He was anointed. Oh, yes, it's the same Jesus that everybody receives. But when Padre Pio celebrated the Eucharist, there was much fruit because he was holy and he was anointed. This anointing is so vital in these days, and there are so few people who have experienced the anointing. I speak to you as one who is anointed, and I'm going to tell you why I know. And it's not because I have a big head. I'm going to tell you, I've got nothing. I know who I am. I've got nothing. I have absolutely nothing. I know that I'm shipwrecked without Jesus Christ, okay? I know that. But I'm going to tell you, I've been on this radio for 27 years. I am a nobody. A nobody. I am not a name. My name has never been out in lights that this is the cream of the crop. I've never been the cream of the crop. I've been the bottom of the barrel, okay? But I'm going to tell you this. I am anointed because we could never have withheld we could never have continued this ministry of 27 years if there wasn't an anointing in my talk and in my speech. This is just the way it is. It has nothing to do with me. I didn't gain it by being someone that was a scholar. It came because it was a gift of God, but with the gift comes the persecution. For I can show you at every turn of the road how the devil wanted to destroy this anointing. And destroy me, even to the point of my mother breaking her trachea in 1984, that he couldn't get at my throat, so he got at my mother's, and it was on my birthday. Happy birthday. Oh, yes, but by God's grace is much more powerful than the torments of the devil. But I'll tell you, there are many anointed people that have been thrown out. Father Toomey is anointed. Oh, yes, he is anointed. I can assure you that not only is he anointed, he is holy. I can say about myself, I am anointed. I cannot say I am holy because I know who I am. But Father Toomey is holy. And he'll never minister again. Even though he had a consensual relationship with a woman and repented, he'll never minister again. I can name more and more people that are holy and anointed, and the devil got them all kicked out. This is real. Because Satan hates the anointing. Because the anointing breaks the yoke of people. The anointing brings Jesus into people's lives. And the devil will use anyone to destroy an anointed man of God or woman of God. We are in big combat.
Anointing always causes distress. They just turn the electricity here. Not at any other time, but when I'm preaching. You know what I'm saying? No, it's a coincidence. I don't think so. Anything to discourage. Anything to want me to say, you know what, no more. I'm tired of this. Anything. You see, the Lord is a winner. The Lord is a winner. Do you understand? He's a winner. He never loses. You've got to hang in there. When things are broken and things are discouraging and everybody's trying to get you down and God's given you a gift and you know you're nothing, you've got to hang in there. Hang in there with Jesus on the cross. Hang in there. You can't quit. You can't quit. You can't quit. There are so few anointed people. We need God to anoint the lay people to do miracles. We need God to anoint priests to speak out and not be afraid. We need God to anoint bishops that they would stand up like Peter and Paul in the midst of the world. We need anointed men and women of God. We do not need any more company men. We do not need anybody that's just wimps. We need God's people to direct us during these times of trouble. Anointed people. We have experienced great distress this weekend. When a representative was killed, but not only a representative, but a judge. Not only a judge, but a 9-year-old child. Not only a 9-year-old child, but a minister and some older people. Oh, we have experienced this. But I'm telling you, it's time for the country to repent because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have planted violence through abortion. We have planted violence through embryonic stem cell research, and we are reaping what we have planted, and no one's connecting the dots, and no one's calling for repentance, and no one's saying, what do we expect when there is no safety in the womb? There is no safety. Where there is no safety with someone at the end of life that they kill them, there is no safety. When we plant violence, we get violence. Who will be the anointed people to cry out, repent, turn away from your sins? Church, you have not done your job. You have not proclaimed the word of God. You are not saying to the people that baby killing takes place every single moment of the day. 60 million children shed their blood, and they have no place to run. Now our elderly are at stake. Who will speak the word anointedly and say, no more, we must repent, we must get on our faces, we must cry out for mercy? Where is John the Baptist? Where is John the Baptist, the anointed man of God? Where is he? He's not in a 3-piece suit. I tell you, he would scare the heart out of every bishop and every priest, including me. John the Baptist would shake the roots of our being, starting with me. Do you understand that? But where is he? He's nowhere in sight. Because with the anointing comes trouble. He lost his head. Oh, yes, Herodias was going to stop him from crying out. He lost his head. There is a price with the anointing. And who will pay the price? I am talking to people who are anointed and then jumped out of the race. Jumped out of the race because it was too much. But you know what? People are depending upon you. And God wants to reignite them in anointing. And you're the only one that can say yes. You're the only one that can say yes. And we're in need of anointed men and women. We're in need of anointed men and women. We don't need any more company people. We need men and women that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that love God and the church, and will speak the hard word and even take the punches from hell. In the name of Jesus, anoint your people. In the name of Jesus, wake us up. In the name of Jesus, forgive us. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.